Yaro Dangi Mengi Dengwa. Yaro Mengi Dengwa. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning, Namibia. Good day to every single one of you, whether you are driving through the street of Windhoek, listening to Eagle FM, or whether you are out in Oshakati, Rundu, Ludritz, Swakopmund, Katima Mulilo, wherever Eagle FM signal and frequency finds you today, you are alive, you are breathing, and that alone, that you are alive and you are breathing, that alone is a reason enough to be grateful. Okay? So we got to be grateful of the blessings and the gift that God has given us. So, batiwa pandura noyaka. So, nakayaka ngeskuri mwengi yo pandura. So, let's be grateful. The new day, the new life, the life that God has given us, the fact that we are breathing. As I said, that alone is a reason enough to be grateful. So, welcome to Mind Matters. So our time, it's 11 minutes. It's 9 minutes past the hour of 11. And this is not Mind Matter, the program that focuses on you. You know, the program that look at, you know, those, you know, patterns, psychological patterns and social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and how we make choices and decisions in life. I'm your host, Big Mike Oshaveli. And for the next 2 hours, I want you to stop. I want you to stop. I want you to sit down. Or you can stand if you want to. Or you are driving. Okay. So that's also fine. So wherever you find yourself, take a deep breath, relax, and let's have an honest conversation as we usually do. A real one as well. You know. Topic today's, what is our today's topic? What is topic today's? We are talking about the past. And we are talking about the past, and more specifically, we're talking about letting go of the past as the cornerstone of change. Letting go of the past as a cornerstone of change. Now, and before we go any further, I want you to do something for me. Okay? I want you to do something from the very beginning. I want you to do something for me. I want you to think of one thing. Just one. One thing from your past that you are still actually carrying with you today. What is that you are still carrying with you today? So that's why I say sit down, relax. I want us to really go through this. Now, maybe it is a relationship that went wrong. Okay, could be a relationship that went wrong. Maybe it is a job that you lost. Maybe it's a parent who was not there when you were young. Maybe it's something, or maybe someone did to you something, or someone did something to you 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, and you still feel it in your chest right now. Just thinking about it, you're still feeling it in your chest. So, you got it? Now, good. Hold that thought, because by the end of this hour, by the end of these 2 hours, I want that feeling to mean something different to you. I want it to mean something different to you. I want it to mean to be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. By the end of this session, by the end of this show, I want that to be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block as it is right now. And today on Mind Benta, we're going to go deep. We're going to go a little bit deep. We're going to talk about what human beings hold on. Why do human beings hold on to pain? Why do we hold on to pain? Like, it is a prized possession. So most of us hold on to that pain as if it's a prized possession. Why we do that? So we're going to talk about what that hold on is really doing to our life. What does it doing to your life, to your relationship, to your career, to your health, to your future? What does it do to your future? And then the part I'm most excited about, where we are going to talk about how you walk through the door of freedom. So how are you going to walk through the door of freedom? Because my dear Namibia, my dear listener, let go is not a weakness. Let go is the bravest thing a person can do. So that's exactly what we're going to look at. And before we get into that then, let's start on with the music, okay? So because here, you know, we can also, a little bit of entertainment wouldn't hurt. You know, let's do that. Let's start with Kenneth Urban, Blue Ain't Your Color. Blue Ain't Your Color.
I can see you over there staring at your drink, watching that I sink all alone tonight. And chances are you're sitting here in this bar, cause he ain't gonna treat you right. Well, it's probably not my place, but I'm gonna say it anyway, cause you look like you hadn't felt the fire, had a little fun, hadn't had a smile in a little while, baby. Looks good on the sky, looks good on that neon buzzing on the wall, but darling, it don't match your eyes. I'm telling you, so black and white, he's stealing your thunder. Baby, blue ain't your color. I'm not trying to, I'll be another just pick you up kind of guy, trying to drink you up, trying to take you home. But I don't understand how another man can take your son and turn it ice cold. Well, I've had enough to drink, and it's making me think that I just might tell you, if I were a painter, I wouldn't change you, I'd just paint you bright, baby. Cause blue looks good on the sky, looks good on that neon buzzing on the wall, but darling, your eyes. I'm telling you, you don't need that guy. It's so black and white, he's stealing your thunder. Baby, blue ain't your color. Baby, let me light up.
Well, that Keith Urban blew into your collar. So welcome back. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 11. So it's a Saturday morning. Whatever you're doing, make sure that, you know, you're relaxing. You know, you work too hard. And I'm going to try and not really bombard with so much information. But, you know, sometimes we need to, you know, to get ourselves, most of the time we're so busy, we never get a time actually to learn something about ourselves, you know, and really focusing on ourselves. And that's what we do on this program. And as usual, from now until the hour of 1 o'clock, we call these hours a mental health hours, where you are also most welcome to come through. Like there was someone last week came through with an issue that, you know, they needed to deal with. And we, you know, we look at how we can help that. And, I was also able then to look for information for that person later on and get help, you know, and be able to get help. So now this is a mental health hours. From now until the hour of 11, until the hour of 1 o'clock. So any issues, especially that are mental, that has to do with your wellness, your emotional wellness, your physical, even your physical wellness, your psychological wellness. So this is the platform where you can come through and either ask questions or, you know, talk about it. All right. I'm a counselor by profession. So I can't promise that I will be able to help you, you know, but what I can help you, we will be able to discuss your issue and probably find options, you know, where you can get help or how you can get help. So make sure that, you know, if there's something that you find yourself, you know, in a situation and you don't know who to talk to, this is the platform. You don't need to say your name. You know, you could be anonymous. Like someone from Swakopmund or Hervis Bay. So yeah, then we can discuss that. So it's a platform for you. Do that. Even if it doesn't relate to the topic that we're discussing. Like the topic we're discussing today is letting go of the past is the cornerstone of change. So it's the cornerstone of change. Now, let's start with our reality. Especially let's talk about Namibia for a moment, okay? Because I want to put you in the context of what we're talking about. It's a beautiful country and our complexity country, you know? So now we are a nation that has been through a lot. Maybe not like many other nations, but, and even if we can't compare with other nations, whatever we went through, it's our unique way. It's our unique experience. So we carry a colonial wounds, okay? We carry wounds of apartheid. Some of us grew up in poverty, real poverty. And we carry the shame and the anger of that. Some of us grew up watching violence in our homes. Some of us were told we were not good enough. You were told you're not good enough. You're not smart enough, eh? Maybe you're not light enough. Eh? So people that that have a light complexion time of favor, then you are not light enough, not rich enough. Maybe you are told you have a girlfriend that tells you, a boy that, or a woman that tells you, or a man that tells you, you're not rich enough or something. So, and here's the thing about these wounds. You know, these are wounds that we are carrying. So here's the thing about these wounds. We never really dealt with them. Some of these wounds we never, let's say for example, our colonial wounds. Have we really dealt with these wounds? Our apartheid wounds, have we really dealt with those wounds? Maybe, as I said, you probably have grew up in a poverty, real poverty. Have you dealt with that wounds? So, and sometimes we were never taught, in some cases, we were never taught how to You were never taught how to deal with them. In most African homes, you know, I say this with love, I'm saying this with love and respect, you were told, be strong, don't cry, move on, you know. We were never taught or, you know, learn how to deal with them. So we're carrying them. And you and I, I'm just mentioning a few things here, but there are a lot of other wounds that we are carrying, you know, in our life today. So, but moving on and letting go, those are two different things. As I said, we are just told, hey, move on, man, move on. Don't cry. Be strong. And even being strong or don't cry. And as I said, now, moving on or be strong or don't cry, all that, and letting go are two different things. We need to learn that those are two different things. Moving on is physical. Okay? So moving on is physical. You leave the place. You change the circumstances. But letting go is internal. It's something inside of you. You release the emotion. You free the spirit. And most of us have done the first one. We have done the first one without ever doing the second. As I said, you might have changed the circumstances, we might have leave the place, you know, but have you released the emotion? Have you free the spirit? So now, we might have left the bad relationship, you know, but we took the bitterness into the next one. You following? You have left the bad relationship. And that's why I said you change the circumstances, you leave the place. But what did you take? You took the bitterness into the next one. Now, you're a bitter person in your next relationship. You left the job that hurt you, or the job that hurt you. But we took insecurity. You might have taken that insecurity into your next interview after that. Now, you have this insecurity now that you have taken along as an experience of your bad, of the job that you have left. Maybe we grew up and left the home or the house we suffered in. We might have been in the house where we have been, you know, discriminated or, you know, beaten up, battered or whatever, you know, being isolated, rejected, whatever the case may be. So we grew up and left that home that we suffered in. But we brought that suffering right into our own homes. You might have brought that suffering into our own homes. And we sometimes painfully, without even realizing it, sometimes painfully, we pass it to our children. We pass it to our children. So, now, and also research from psychologists, and I want to ground this in a science for you today. I can also ground this into science. So research tells us, it tells us that when people get stuck in the past, it does something very, very, very specific to their brain. So when you're stuck into the past, it does something to your brain. So the emotional center, okay? So the emotional center of your brain, the amygdala. Okay, the hippocampus. They replay painful memories as if they are happening right now. So they replay, you know, when they replay those painful memories, it feels as it's exactly happening right now. Your body releases stress hormones. When your body releases stress hormones, your heart, you know, your heart rates, your heart rate rises, your muscle tightened, you started to breathe fast. You know, you, as if you experienced exactly the same, you know, the same event, as if you are reliving, you know, the very same event. Meaning, when you are replaying that argument, maybe from 5 years ago, your body thinks it is happening today. It's happening now. And you're literally reliving the pain over and over again. So, you're not just suffering from what happened to you. So in this case, you're not just suffering from what happened to you. So you are actually suffering from the memory of what happened to you. Yeah? You're suffering from the memory of what happened to you today. And that is a choice. That is a choice. Now, I know that some of you might be saying, but you don't know what was done to me. Yeah? You don't know what was done to me. You don't know my story, you know, or you're absolutely, and I think, and I can agree with you. You're absolutely right. I don't. And I honor that. I honestly honor that. Some of you have been through things I cannot imagine. I can't imagine. Yeah? So, but here's what I do. Here's what I do know. Okay? This is what I do know. Holding on does not change what happened. And listen to me very carefully. Holding on does not change what happened. Holding on does not punish the person who hurt you. Holding on does not get your money back if that's what you're holding on to. Holding on does not bring your years back. Does not get your years back. Does not get your dignity back. So holding on steals from you. It does steals from you. It steals your happiness. It steals your freedom. All right? So that's why. Now, let's look at why. Maybe what we need to look at, why do we hold on, you know? Why do we hold on to this psychological pain? Now, let's get into the why, okay? Let's get into the why. Why do we hold on to the past? Because honestly, when you think about it, if holding on made us feel good, let's say, for example, if it was making us feel good, I would understand it. If it was making us feel good, I would understand it. But it doesn't. It doesn't. So why do we do it? Yeah. Why do we do it? So why do we hold on to things that cause us pain? You can come through. You can also then come through and tell me, why do we hold on to things that cause us pain? I'm going to tell you some reasons why. You may have your own reasons why. Why are you still holding on? Why does a woman stay in a relationship that broke her heart 5 years ago and is still holding on? It's 5 years, it's 10 years, but you're still actually holding on to that. Why does a man refuse to give? This is about a brother, you know? Why does a man refuse to forgive his brother over disagreement that happened when they were actually teenagers? He's still holding on to that, to something that happened when they were teenager. Why do we replay old conversation in our head? And sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not sleeping. Why do we do that? And as a counselor who has really worked with hundreds of people, I can tell you that the answer is both simple and complicated. Okay. It's both simple and complicated. We hold on because, and listen very carefully. So we hold on because sometimes letting go feels like losing something. You understand? Sometimes just letting go, it feels like you're losing something. We hold on because our past have become part of our identity. And sometimes we don't realize that we have been in that world for too long that it becomes our identity. We hold on because we are afraid that without our pain, without that pain, we might not know where, you know, who we are anymore. Yeah, as much as it sounds that it's terrible, that is actually true. So let me explain what I mean, okay? So that you understand. I once counseled a woman from, you know, okay, I nearly said where. Yeah, what from Kantutura. Okay? Beautiful woman, educated, working at a good job, have a very good job. But she could not move forward in her life. And this was really, and I'm bringing this up because it was typical, something very, very unique in the way when you think about it. But it brings out this, what a point I want to make here very clearly. Now, every relationship she started would end within months, okay? Every opportunity for, let's say, for example, a promotion at work would actually slip through her fingers. She came to me asking why she was actually sabotaging herself. Why am I sabotaging myself? Now, I didn't understand, but after several sessions, you know, we discovered something important. When she was young, the father left the family. He abandoned her. I mean, he abandoned them for another woman. Now, and do you know what she told me? She said, if I succeed in life, and this is a strange thing, if I succeed in life, it means I did not need him. And if I did not need him, then his leaving was not the tragedy I made it out to be. So, but his leaving was a tragedy. So that's what it says. His leaving was a tragedy. So I must not succeed. That's what she said. I must not succeed. She was definitely sabotaging herself. Because think about that. Think about that for a moment. No, she was holding herself back to validate her own pain. Eh? Do you understand that? And this is what psychologists call a secondary gain. A secondary gain is we hold on to our suffering because it gives us something. It is suffering, but that suffering, it giving us something. Maybe it gives us, sometimes it gives us attention. You know, so being a victim, now you are the victim, so you get an attention. You could be, so we're holding on to that because it gives us, sometimes it gives us attention, for example. And then losing that, we may not actually get the attention that we get now. You know, do you know why sometimes the woman stays in an abusive relationship where she got beaten? It became a habit that every time she's got beaten up, when now the men have to apologize and, give her something. So, that's the only time I get that attention. So the suffering, as I said, you hold on to our suffering. That's why secondary gain. Okay? So we hold on to our suffering because it gives us something. So sometimes it gives us attention. Sometimes it gives us excuse for not trying. Okay? The reasons why you don't want to try, maybe why people asking, why don't you do what? Why don't you, you know? It also gives us an excuse not to try. Yeah? Sometimes it gives us an excuse, you know, and maybe it gives us a sense of righteousness, of being a victim, of being the one who is wronged. You understand? You want to be that person who feel I'm the one who is wronged. And therefore, you can't let that go. Even if you are suffering from it. And let go means giving up all those things. So what do you mean now? Let go with now. You're going to give up that attention. You're going to give up the excuses of not trying, maybe. You're going to give up that sense of righteousness that I was right. I'm the victim. I'm the one who have been wronged. Letting go means giving up all those things. Yeah? And we definitely don't want to let, because of those things, we may not actually let, we may not want to. That could be the reason we don't want to let go. Now, I want every reason I'm giving you, assess yourself. Eh? Is this what I'm doing? Is this where I'm at? Okay, that's the reason why we're going through this. I want to help you to understand this process. Okay, but there's another reason we hold on. There's another reason we hold on. So human beings are creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. We are wired to tend to what is familiar. All right? Follow me. We are wired, in our brain, we are wired to tend to what is familiar. Even when it is familiar, when it is familiar, is painful. What that is familiar is painful. Do you understand? Even when it's familiar, it is familiar, but it's painful. You know the saying that says, you know, rather the devil you know than the angel you don't. So we are more likely to return to what is familiar, even when it is, when that familiar is painful. That's why you keep coming. So you keep coming to this abusive relationship. Eh? So now, keep coming. It could be not coming to the very same person, but coming to this familiar, you know, to the familiar circumstances. I'll give you an example. All right? I worked with a woman, a young woman. Okay, let's call her this time. Let's call her Ndapewa. Okay, beautiful, intelligent, hardworking young woman from a small town here in the north. She grew up watching her father abuse her mother. She hated it. She vowed she would never allow anyone actually to treat her that way. And then she got into a relationship with an abusive man. Then another one. She kept asking herself, why does this keep happening to me? Is something wrong with me? No, but here's the truth, you know, as a counselor would discover. Ndapewa did not choose abuse because she wanted pain. Listen carefully. She did not choose abuse because she wanted pain. She chose it on a deeper conscious level. That toxic dynamic was familiar. It felt like home. Yeah? It felt like home, even though home hurt her. You know? Even home hurt her, that it felt like familiar. It felt like home. And this is not a victim. I mean, this is not a weakness. It's not something kind of like this is a weakness. So this is not a weakness. This is human psychology. It's a human psychology. Our brain are always trying to make sense of the world using what? Using the past as a reference point. The past that you experienced. So if your past says love equals pain, let's say for example, your past said love equals pain, your brain will find love that equals pain and call it normal. Yeah? It will call it normal. Because that's what it is actually familiar with. Now, the only way to break that pattern, you have to go back. You gotta go back. You have to face what happened name it, process it, and then let it go. And we're going to look at towards the end when we're looking at the way, how do we get ourselves, the path to get ourselves, you know, how to let go of the past. We will look at that. Maybe we're going to discuss some of those things. So that's another reason. Okay. I hope you're following. I hope it's not too technical for you as well. So, yeah. Let me give you another reason. So, and this one is a big one, especially in our African culture. So, we sometimes think that letting go of the pain means we are forgetting the person. You know, if that's involved, the person, that, or that we are saying what happened was okay, you know, not only the person, that sometimes we think letting go is kind of like, that means that I'm forgetting the person, or that means that what happened is okay, or that we are being disloyal to our own suffering. It's kind of like, if I let it go, I'm being disloyal to my suffering. Three things. One is that if it's involved a person, maybe, you know, forgetting, you know, it could be letting go. Letting go of that pain means we are forgetting the person. You know, that's why we're holding on to that pain. Maybe someone, you know, in our life, someone who died in our life, and we're holding on to that person. Now, forgetting to let go of that, it means that maybe we are forgetting that person. So, and if it comes to, you know, something that happened to you, it's that maybe it's saying what happened was okay. If I let go, that means that what happened to me was okay. So you keep holding on to that. And how many years now you have been holding on to that? Or if it has to do now, you look at on your own suffering, maybe it's that we are being disloyal. I'm being disloyal to what I'm going through, what I have gone through, you know, to my own suffering. So now, a man loses his brother to violence. 10 years later, he's still consumed by rage. 10 years later, he's still consumed by rage. And when people say to him, ah man, let it go, move on, he feels that letting go means he no longer loves his brother. Eh? That's what it means to him. If I let go, it means I no longer love my brothers. And that he is betraying the memory of his brother. And here's what I would say to that man. And to anyone who feels that, anyone who feels that way today, in any other circumstances, letting go of the pain does not mean you forgot. It doesn't mean you forgot. It does not mean you stop loving. It does not mean you are saying it was okay. That's not what it means. So letting go means you are choosing to leave. Okay? You are choosing to leave. You are saying, what happened to you will not destroy me too. Because at the moment, it does destroy you. It's destroying you. It's a stumbling block. Yeah? It doesn't set you free. You're not living. Because right now, grief, rage, bitterness. So when you think about this, they are not honoring the memory of the loved one. Those things, grief, anger, whatever you're angry about, it doesn't actually honor the memory of the people you say you love, your loved one. It doesn't. They are consuming the life of you who is still here. It's consuming you. Your loved one, wherever they are, and they maybe their soul rest in peace, you know, would want you to live fully. I don't think there's someone, you know, someone who has gone, maybe looking at you and is happy that you are this, you continue to grieve them. You know, that would be now the sign that you still love them, that you are rage, you are bitter. No. They would want you to live fully. not to exist in prison of pain in their name. Now you are existing this prison of pain in their name. And my friend, I want you to understand something very crucial. Your past is not your identity. Your past is something that happened to you. All right? Something that happened to you is not who you are. All right? Something that happened to you is not who you are. You are not your failure. You are not your failed marriage. Okay? That's something that happened to you. You are not your retrenched job. That's something happened to you. You are not the mistake you made in your youth. Maybe got pregnant earlier. That is something happened to you. You are not the hurt that someone caused you. Those are experiences you had. You had. They are not your definition. I want you to understand that. They are not your definition. And there's something very important. There's something why our African traditions, for example, our African tradition, and this is something that I, you know, you should understand. That's something that most modern people don't do anymore. Yeah? So we have ceremonies for transition. Do you understand? For transition. In our tradition, we have ceremony for transitions. When a boy becomes a man, there is a ritual. Well, most of people don't practice it anymore, but there were rituals that were there. You know, when a girl become a woman, you know, there is a ceremony. When someone dies, maybe this is what happened now. When someone dies, we have a mourning period. Yeah? For most families, for most tradition, it goes for like a week or so. Now, our ancestor understood something that modern psychology is only now catching up to. We're only catching up to that now. But it's something that was understood by our ancestors. They understood that we need markers. That we need markers. We need moment when we say that chapter is closed. Now a new one begins. Do you understand? That's why you go through these rituals. That's why you go through this one. It says, as I said, there are those ceremonies for transition. Eh? Whether it's someone dies, whether it's someone becoming a woman, whether it's someone. So there are those ceremonies, there are those rituals. It's to mark. Now, it marked that we need moment, you know. It marked that chapter is closed. And a new one has begun. And there are people who actually, when you are asked to do certain things culturally, there are people who actually minimize that. What does that help? And I'm telling you from a psychological point of view that those are very important. It's a marker. And psychologically, our brain capture moments, you know, images, and what they symbolizes. Think of anything. Most of the things are symbolic in your life. What do you do? Getting married. Why don't you just say to each other, hey, come, we love each other. We are married. Why there is a ceremony? There is something that is actually done. Or there are words said to each other. There are certain things that you do if it's in the church. There are certain symbolic things that you do. What do they do? What do they do? They create that. They make a marker. Okay? And we need those markers. It makes a mark that the chapter is closed. Now a new one begins. And when we're talking about letting go of the past, so we need those markers as well, where to say, yes, that experience in my life has ended. I need new experiences. We need markers, and we can do that with rituals as a marker of a new beginning. And as I said, today, many of us have lost those rituals. We drift from one phase of life to another without even formally closing the previous chapter. Yeah? You're coming from this relationship without any, you know, and into another. We carry our dead relationship into new ones. Yeah? Your dead relationship, you carry it into new ones. Yeah? They are not even a marker. There are people who said, okay, let me take a moment, maybe a life, let me take some time really to create a space for myself. Now, that space you are creating intentionally become a marker that I went through some kind of mourning of my relationship. And then comes the time where I said, yes, I have gone. I have now, you know, mourn enough. There are certain things that are through that time. There are certain things that I'm doing because those become markers of my mourning, and comes to a time where I say, yeah, from now on, I can date again. So because without those markers, you carry your dead relationship into new ones. You carry your old failures into the new opportunities. You carry your childhood wounds that we were talking earlier, your childhood wounds into our adult lives. And then no wonder why we feel heavy. No wonder why why we are not progressing. Why are you following? All right. So let's get into another reason and then maybe have a music break. You know, so yeah, the other reason some people hold on to the past, even painful past, even painful past, because at least they know what that looks like. Do you understand what I mean? So they know what that looks like. The future is uncertain. We don't know what is the future. So I stick to what is, we talked about familiar earlier, but the future is scary. So they stay in what they know. Okay. A man stays in a job that is killing his spirit. That job is actually killing his spirit for 15 years because living feels too scared. It feels too scary, not to feel scared. You know, it feels too scary. You know, while living, it's really feeling too scary. A woman stay in a situation that diminishes her because she does not know who she is without it. You know, it's kind of like, that's what I know. If I leave this, who am I? Yeah? Who am I? A young person keep replaying their failures. I failed grade 12. Yeah? I'm not good enough. Because that story, painful as it is, has become their identity. It has become their identity. And I want to say something powerful here. Okay? I want to say something powerful here. Something from a psychologist named Dr. Joe Dispenza. Okay? Dr. Joe Dispenza. He says, the moment you stop letting your past predict your future, that is the moment your life begins. So, remember as I said, okay? For a grade 12, I mean for a young person who is saying, I failed grade 12, I'm not good enough. What is that saying? It means that my failure of the past are dictating my moment of the future, my opportunity. They are dictating because of grade 12 that I failed. So I'm defining my future based on that. So, and Dr. Dispenza saying, the moment you stop letting your past predict your future, that is the moment you leave. You know, your life begins. So maybe you are where you are. You are not progressing because you let your future being predicted by your past, by your experience of the past. Yeah, that is very true. Now, your past is information. Looking at this way, look at this way, as if your past is information, not instruction. Do you see the difference? It's information that you can look at. Okay, this is what happened. It's information in front of you. But it's not an instruction that this is what you need to do. So the fact that you failed does not mean you are a failure. It's not an instruction. It's an information. It means you tried and maybe the approach did not work yet. Eh? How do you know? Who knows? Maybe it's going to work in the... So the fact that you were betrayed, for example, the fact that you were betrayed does not mean you are unlovable. Remember? Doesn't predict the moment you stop letting your past predict your future. That is the moment your life begins. The fact that you were betrayed does not mean you are unlovable. It means you trusted. You trusted, and that trust was broken. That's all what it means. It was broken by someone who has broken themselves as well. They themselves were broken. The fact that you grew up poor does not mean you're destined to stay poor. It doesn't mean you're destined to stay poor. So it means your starting point was difficult. But starting point do not determine destination. Yeah? Starting point do not determine destinations. All right, as I said, after this, so those are some of the reasons. What are your reasons? Okay? What are your reasons why you're still holding on to the experience of the past? Why aren't you letting go? Because that is the cornerstone of change. So, when we come back, we continue. So, stay tuned. Be part of this. Our telephone number, we're coming through. We're coming live. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. And our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So let's get to Kid Rock picture featuring Sherry Crown. All right, we'll be back.
Living my life in a slow hell. Different girl every night at the hotel. I ain't seen the sun shine in 3 damn days. Been fueling up on whiskey. Wish I had a good girl to miss me. Lord, I wonder if I'll ever change my ways. I put your picture away, sat down and cried the day. I can't look at you while I'm lying next to her. I put your picture away, sat down and cried today. I can't look at you while I'm lying next to her.
I called you last night in the hotel. Everyone knows, but they won't tell. But their half-hearted smiles tell me something just ain't right. I've been waiting
Welcome back, and a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, our time is it's 12 already. Oh my good Lord, how the time really goes fast. When they say when you have fun, the time goes really, really, really fast. All right, welcome back. We have been talking, and we have been looking at our topic today is letting go of the past is the cornerstone of change. And we have been looking at the reasons why we hold on to the past. Okay, why do we hold on to the past? So yeah, and we look at couple of things, and we really look at a couple of reasons why we do that. Sometimes because, you know, because that's what familiar to us, you know, and because the past has become part of our identity. And, and also as I said, that become familiar. And also that, we're kind of holding on for loyalty, you know. Sometimes we're kind of holding on for loyalty, yeah. So, because it's something that we actually know, and familiar with. All right. So yeah, what I want to focus us now on. Okay, what I want us to focus on. The other thing is also the fear of unknown. We talked also about the fear of unknown. This is what is familiar. So, and then what I want us also looking at, I want also looking at this in a broader sense. Okay, so I want to also look at the broader sense. I was talking about what also happened in the parliament, you know, we have seen, and I'm bringing that into a context, okay? So we have seen, you know, but what happened between, you know, the deputy minister and the what is that? What is his name? The name just disappeared. Okay, but you know what happened. So I want to bring it home now, okay? I want us to talk about us, okay, in this context, about our context, because I believe that healing, real healing, has to acknowledge where we come from, okay? Namibia has a specific trauma landscape. We have a really specific trauma landscape. And we do not talk about that enough, okay? So we are barely 35 since two independent, 35 years, just 35 years. So two generation, there are people alive today, grandparents and great-grandparents, who lived through colonial violence, who lived through that forced removals. And apartheid era brutality. We live in those apartheid era of brutality. That pain did not just disappear in 1990. All right? It didn't just disappear in 1990. It was passed down. It's pierced into families, into communities, into the way we see ourselves. So what did we do? What did we do about that? Have we done anything about it? Now, the psychologists call this intergenerational trauma. Okay? That's an intergenerational trauma. The idea that pain, real psychological and emotional pain, is transmitted from one generation to the next. Not through stories necessarily, not because of what we've been told, but through behavior. You know, you watch how your parent, through maybe the way parents parenting, okay? Through the silence, through the shame. Okay? So when a young man in Namibia today feel a deep, unexplained rage, sometimes that rage is not just his. It's not just his rage. It has a root. Okay? When a young man struggle to trust anyone, sometimes that distrust is not just hers. Okay? When a young woman, you know, struggle actually to trust someone, to trust anyone, that distrust is not just hers. It has roots. And this does not mean we are victims, okay? It doesn't mean we are victim, not at all. Understanding the roots of your pain, as I'm trying to help, understanding now the root of your pain is the first step to pulling them out. That's actually the starting point of pulling them out. But we need to have the conversation. So we need to have the conversation. So, and here's something else that is uniquely Africa. Yeah? That's uniquely African. And uniquely powerful as well. Which we don't understand why this concept is very important in Africa. The concept of Ubuntu. Ubuntu. You know, not Ubuntu. The Ubuntu. Ubuntu, umuntu kubuntu gabantu. Okay? I am because we are. That philosophy that we are deeply connected to each other is actually a healing tool when we apply it correctly. If we apply that correctly, that's a healing tool. Because it means your healing does not just affect you. Your healing blesses your children. Your healing changes your community. Your freedom becomes someone else's permission to be free. So when you let go of resentment, the bitterness, and the shame, you are not just doing it for yourself. You are doing it for the next generation. You are doing it for the next generations. That is your legacy. That is real Ubuntu. So because you're resentful, you know, when we're talking about your bitterness, you're resentful, the shame, you pass it on to your children and they hate the people you hate, resentful to the people you have been resentful. And so that's why you, as I said, you're not doing it yourself. And then understanding the Ubuntu is that you're actually passing on, you are doing it for the generations. So, and when we're passing on right values, when we show that forgiveness, maybe we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So as the practical way, on looking at the practical way of letting go, you know, so it, you pass that on as well. I think I just want to bring in that understanding that this is, it's a community. This dynamic is within the community as well. With what you're doing, it's part of the whole. You look at it in more broader sense rather than just an individual. All right? So, now, let me also address something sensitive here. And in many of our communities, mental health is still, you know, is still a taboo subject. If you are struggling emotionally, some people will say, well, go to church or pray harder, don't think about it, you know? And I believe in prayer. It's not that I don't believe in prayer. I believe in faith. I really deeply believe in faith. But faith and therapy are not enemies. Okay? Faith and therapies are not enemies. They are partners. You can pray and also go through the process of therapy. You can trust God and talk to a counselor. All right? So you can hold your culture and do the healing work as well. So the two are not in conflict. The only enemy is silence. Because silence is where unhealed pain lives and grow. Yeah? The silence is where unhealed pain lives and grow. And that's why we have so many people, unliving themselves, taking their own lives, because they are in silence. They are suffering in silence. They live in that unhealed pain, and that unhealed pain in silence grows because you're not talking to anybody. So there is no shame. Honestly, there is no shame in saying, I'm not okay. There is no shame in saying, I need help. The shame is in pretending. You know, the shame is in pretending for, you're pretending for 10, 20, 30 years that everything is fine. That's where the shame is. While everything, you are pretending while everything inside you is really burning. The shame isn't pretending. All right? So, now, before we go into the practical thing, okay, what is our time? Let me prepare this. We're going to look at the cost of not letting go before we look at the practical things of to letting go. Now, before we're letting go, what is the cost of not letting go? Yeah? What is the cost of not letting go? So that's what we're going to look at when we come back. But let's have the lady Antebellum meet you now.
Picture perfect memory.
scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever crossed your mind. For me it happens all the time.
It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know. Stop looking at the door, wishing you come sweeping in the way you did before.
And I wonder if I ever cross your mind.
For me it happens all the time.
It's a quarter.
Well, that's Lady A, and our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 22 minutes past the hour of 12. So we still have a couple of minutes before we come to the end of our show this morning, and hopefully I would like you also to participate. You're most welcome to come through and have your reaction on what we're discussing, or just your own experience of something that that probably I said, or something that just struck you from what I'm talking about. So do come through as well. And as I always said, experience and testimonies and are normally good education, because someone is sitting there thinking they alone are the one that are going through that. But, you know, when they hear someone say, you know, this is how I dealt with, this is what I was going through, and this is how I dealt with that, it give them hope. So it give them something that they are not alone in this problem. That's why I always invite you to come through and share what you're going through as well, what you went through and how you dealt with that. So we're talking about letting go, as the letting go of the past is the cornerstone of change. Now, but I want to talk about let the cost of not letting go. If you can, if you, what happened when we refuse to let go? So what happened when we refuse to let go? Because there is a price. There is a price to pay for holding on to the past. And that price is higher than most of us think, than most of us realize. Now, the first price, really, I think not the first price. Now, first, there is physical cost, okay, for not letting go. There is a physical cost for not letting go. And did you know, let me ask you a question, do you know that holding on to past hurts? If you hold on to past hurt, can actually make you sick? Do you know that it can make you sick? And, you know, scientific research has shown this, that when we hold on to anger, resentment, and bitterness, our body actually stay in a state of stress. So imagine, you stay in a state of stress for 5, 10, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever years. So your cortisol level, you know, your stress hormone, stays higher all the time. Our blood pressure stays elevated. Our immune system becomes weaker. Eh? I have seen people develop, you know, ulcers, head migraines, heart conditions, and chronic pains because they will not let go of something that happened years and years ago. Now ask yourself, I just mentioned some of the things that come to my mind, or some other people that I have seen experience. So because your stress hormone, your cortisol, the level stays high all the time. So the other cost, you know, for not let go is there's a relationship, a relationship cost. So when we hold on to the past, when we hold on to the past hurt, we bring those hurt into every new relationship. You come with that baggage into new relationship. The woman who was cheated, the woman who was cheated on, becomes suspicious of every new man. Now, you're not in the relationship anymore. You are just looking at things that were done by the previous person. And because you're focusing on it, you are more likely actually to see it. You understand? So you see how that becomes a stumbling block into how does become actually a cost to your relationship. Because these are the things that you are flagging out. Eh? So if you are cheated on, now you're looking every moment, you know? His phone was in silence. Okay? Then, that's a sign of cheating. So he's actually talking from outside. He's actually speaking outside. What is going on? So you picking up because that's your focus on. You mostly find what you're looking for, even when he's not there. Even when he's not there, because your mind, it's attuned to look for that. Just think of it's only even the good things. Let's say, for example, you want a car. Yeah? You want to buy BMW, okay? So now you actually, over a sudden, previously you don't see those BMW now, but over a sudden, everywhere you turn, that type of car is around. You see it there, you understand? Because your mind now attuned to that aspect. So a man who was betrayed by a business partner refuses to trust anyone again. You understand? You see how that actually would affect your future? We're talking about earlier. So the child who was abandoned by a parent becomes emotionally distant with their own children. Maybe you become distant with your own children. So we pass our wounds to the people around us. We make them pay for the crimes they didn't commit. That's exactly what we do. Eh? As a counselor, I see this all the time. A couple comes to counseling, for example. Okay? They are fighting about everything. But when you dig deeper, when you really dig deeper, the real issue is not between them. Sometimes, most of the time, the real issue is not between them. The real issue is something one of them experienced in previous relationship or in their childhood. Yeah. They are fighting ghosts. Yeah? They are fighting ghosts. So they are pushing each other for things that have nothing to do with their current relationship. It's a tragic. You know, when you're experiencing this, sometimes when you counsel couples, you see that what they are really, it has nothing to do with their current relationship. It has to do with, you know, either their previous relationship or something in their childhood. So, and those are things that we need to deal with. Okay, things that we need to let go. And sometimes we don't know. Eh? So sometimes we don't know. You don't even know that there are, you haven't let go of certain things in your past, and it's affecting your relationship, affecting your career, it's affecting your, you know, your jobs, whatever the case may be. So you find yourself being, you know, from one job to another, you're being actually, you are this rude. And every time you're fired because of, demoted because of, you know, in the way how you handle with people. Sometimes it's experience that you went through. Most of the time we behave in the way what we know. So, and let's talk about another cost that many people don't even consider, the cost of missed opportunities. Yeah? A cost of missed opportunity. When we are living in the past, we are not fully present in the now. There are so much that you actually, you're missing. A simple one. It's like, so let's say, for example, you were hurt by a person, a short person. You could be a man, you could be a woman. You were hurt, your previous relations, you were hurt by a short person. Now, from now, when you see a short person, you know, approaching you with any proposal in that line, no, you closed off completely. You missed an opportunity of someone who might be your love of your life. If there's such a thing. Yeah? Because you haven't let go of what the other short person did to you. So now you judge by, you know, your future is actually directed by your past. You see that? That's something that we discussed earlier. So when we are not fully present, we miss things. We miss the chance to connect with someone new. Yeah? We miss the chance to see an opportunity. We miss the chance to experience joy. Cost of missed opportunities. And perhaps the bigger one, the bigger cost of all is what I call the future cost. Yeah? So it's the future cost. The future cost, when we hold on to the past, we shrink our future. We diminish our future. we limit what we believe is possible for ourselves. So we tell ourselves stories like, I'm not that kind of person who succeed, for example. Yeah? I always mess things up. Or people like me never get ahead. Have you ever people saying something like that? People like me never get ahead. Who get ahead? What kind of people who get ahead? People like me, maybe you're referring, I'm coming from a poor family. Do you understand? So people like me never actually get ahead. So these stories come from our past. Do you understand? They come from our past, but we use them to predict our future. And that's now the biggest problem. That's why I said this is the biggest cost. And in doing so, we create a self-fulfilling prophecy. All right? We create that self-fulfilling prophecy. And let me ask you something. If you could see your life as a bank account, you see your life as a bank account. Now, don't imagine million now. Don't imagine money now. Now, what would your balance be? Now, you're looking at your bank account now. What would your balance be? You are depositing new experience, new relationship, new achievement? Or are you only making withdrawals? Yeah? Think about that. Are you depositing new experiences, new relations, new achievement? Or are you only making withdrawals? Yeah? Are you only making withdrawals? Replaying old hurts? Counting or old losses? So which one is which? Okay? Now, think of your own life. Which one is which? Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. You cannot withdraw what you have not deposited. If you haven't put that money in, if you haven't put that deposit in, you cannot deposit anything. You cannot deposit anything new if your account is frozen in the past. So your account is frozen in the past. So you aren't be able to put in new. You know, it's like, you know, if you have a basement full of junks, full of this unuseless things, full of things that you know cannot be a foundation of building a new home. So when we come back, we're now looking at the new path, the path forward, the practical, and I'm going to look at the practical things, practical steps to let go. All right, practical things to let go. So yeah, as we talked about, there are costs for not letting go. We talk about your future. There's a cost for future, your future, cost for missed opportunity, and also cost for relationship and physical cost as well. So because, you know, this, your past hurt can actually make you sick, you know. So, yeah. So those are things that you need to consider. Think of what you're going through as a person and see how do you deal with that. All right. So when we come back, that's what we're going to look at. So we will look at the practical step to let go. So don't miss that. So what, let's also look at, Josh Tenner, your man.
Lock the door and turn the light. lights down low and put some music on that's soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling quite this strong. I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man. There's no hurry, don't you worry. We can take our time. Come a little closer, let's go over what I had in mind. Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low. Put some music on that's soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling quite this strong. I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man. Never loved nobody the way that I love you. We're alone now. You don't know how long I've wanted to. Lock the door and turn the lights down low. Put some music on that's soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day long. Never felt a feeling that was quite this strong. I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man. I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man.
George Tenor, let me be your man. All right, that George Tenor, your man. So, it's a Saturday morning, and, well, where are you? So, where are you this morning? And what are you doing this morning? All right? We're talking about letting go of the past is a cornerstone of change. Okay? And right now, my dear friends, we are back. And this is the part of the show I love most. Why? Because this is where we stop just talking about problems. And then we start talking about the path, the way forward. Okay? So first of all, as I always tell people that, you know, for example, let go. Let go is a process. It's not an event. Okay? It's a process. Okay? Wake up. Nobody wakes up one morning and say, hey, right? I have forgiven everyone. I have released my past. Yeah? And I am fully healed. That's not how it works. Let's hear from a caller. A very good morning. Welcome to Mind Matter.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Okay.
How's your Saturday so far?
No, we thank God.
All right.
Going well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, the person has experienced some abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in the relationship, or maybe children, you were abused during your, you know, the socialization, the way you were raised.
Yeah.
But as you grow, even when you get into the adult, you become an adult.
Mm.
And then start perhaps forming your family.
Yeah.
So there are experiences that you have passed through which are bitter.
Mm.
But when you grow,
yeah,
and then you now say, I don't want to treat my children the way I was treated in that situation, that family, or that environment.
Mm.
Or maybe if you are now to get into the relationship,
yeah,
which is also very abusive,
yeah,
then you now realize that, yes, when you then finally depart, so the new relationship, you become so careful, cautious,
yeah,
as to how not to offend this other one. You are maybe now, I don't know whether you are mature because of the abuse.
Mm.
You tend to understand the situation better.
Yeah.
Mm. And to avoid the conflicts and the mouth-peering and many other things, you have learned the lesson.
Yeah.
How to really handle relationship, how to handle conflicts.
Yeah.
You know, arguments.
You're absolutely right. But one thing that you mentioned, which is very important, is that you realized, you know, that means you consciously that you realize that what I went through was not good. You understand? You realize that and you get to know that this, what I went through, it was not good. And I make a conscious choice not to pass that on to my children. So now you started now to behave differently. You started now to do things differently because you knew that what I went through has affected me. It's not just, it doesn't happen just automatically, but you make that conscious. And maybe there are even certain things that you have done. Maybe you could have gone, you might have gone to a counselor, or you might talk to a family member or to somebody, you know, to help you really deal with that. So you did something to make sure that what you do, it's not being now affected by what you went through. I think that you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is true. But the other side is also true that, yes, because the person was brought up in a very bitter manner.
Yeah.
In a very aggressive way, every time, you know, simple things, the person, the child is beaten.
Yeah.
And is shouted at. Right?
Yeah.
And is being ridiculous and, you know, those kind of language.
Mm.
So that also makes that person, when you now grow up, you become also bitter.
Exactly.
You think this is the way of doing things.
Mm. But
so now, in that manner, the person become abusive,
yeah,
even in the relationship, just because of the way the person was brought up.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. So they go on without even knowing that they are being affected by the environment they grew up, you know?
You see, yes, obviously, you are right. Because there's no way you could have, because the manifestation of your, you know, that shows,
yeah,
the fruit will then come out and be seen. And that's why they say you'll be known by their trees, will be known by their fruits.
By their fruits, exactly.
Now, because of that environment that you have grown up, you are oriented to, you know, this kind of situation.
Mm.
So now you become very bitter.
Mm.
Every single thing that the person did, not only the present situation or that prevailing situation, but you have that bitterness, you have that anger,
yeah,
at the back of your mind. Anything that is the wife or your husband sees, or children do, to you is irritating.
Yeah. And so, and the other part, Uncle Bon, is that that resentment, that bit. Let's say, for example, you were in a relationship that you broke up and you are so bitter about it and you are so resentful about it. Now, when you haven't let go of that resentful and bitterness and come into a new relationship, you're actually coming with a baggage from your previous relationship. And that definitely would affect your new relationship, because all what you see is what you saw from the previous one. You understand? Yeah, because that becomes your focus. Your focus on that resentment, your focus on that pain, and every little things, whether this new man, if he just say, no, I'm not gonna give you what, now you say, you see, this is more like what happened there. You're now just equating anything to pain. You understand? And it doesn't go anywhere. Mm.
Exactly. But the conclusion is that yes. So it shouldn't really be matter whether you were in the relationship or that's abusive, whether you were brought up in that manner. I think the best is to just allow that transformation, that transition to take place within you, because you have already known the consequences, the negative consequences of that previous relationship. Then you should have been taught. You should have taught yourself or been that situation should have taught you a lesson to know and maneuver some of those kind of behaviors, and also be patient enough and tolerant enough. Not that you are tolerating things that are not good, but obviously you can tolerate and correct, put some corrective measures in place.
All right.
Just to avoid those bad situation of the previous relationship. So that you don't then destroy this one, since you have now known, because we are told we learn from the known to the unknown.
Yeah,
now that
yeah.
you have known this side and you can be more careful, I think you should be able to manage the other relationship more carefully and more prudent.
Yeah, all right.
So thank you very much, Mike, for getting attention.
Thank you for coming through.
For an opportunity.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. Mm. All right. So we still have about 9 minutes. Let's finish because we haven't even started let's actually looking at our seven practical. I call them anchors. Okay. I call them anchors, you know, to help us start walking out of your past. How do you get out of your past? Okay. I want to finish this because, you know, and helping. How do we let go? How do we then let go of our past and walk into our future with freedom? Now, the first one I'm looking in terms is, these are steps. Okay. One, anchor one. I call it anchor one. Name it. Now, you cannot let go. You cannot let go of something you have never fully acknowledged. Whether it's a problem, you can only deal with a problem when you acknowledge it. All right. So the first step is radically honest. It's being radically honest. Look your pain in the eye and name it. Yeah? Don't say I'm fine. If you're not fine, say I'm carrying grief. Maybe you are carrying some grief. I'm carrying some anger or whatever. I'm angry or whatever. I feel abandoned. I feel ashamed. You know, name it. Okay. Now, there's a psychology behind that. So they say naming the emotion gives you power over it. Okay? It gives you power over it because your brain is saying, okay, it's kind of like, okay, you know what is happening. You are in control. Yeah? When you don't know, we panic. So when we don't know, we panic. Your mind, it doesn't figure out what is going on. So, and what comes consciously also feed into your subconscious, and it don't seem to, you know, when you say you don't know and, you know, and your subconscious tells you something else, it becomes a confusion. So as long as it is nameless, it controls you from the shadow. Name it and you bring it into the light. When you name it, you bring it into the light. And then when you bring it to the light, now it's where you can be able to control it. So now you have power over it. Psychologically, you have power over it. Now, the anchor too, it's very important from what we were saying earlier. You separate the event from your identity. We discussed this at the beginning. What happened to you is not who you are. Okay? And I think I want you really, really, really to understand that what happened to you is not who you are. You were abused. You are not damaged goods. Okay? You were abused. You are not damaged goods. You failed. You are not a failure. You were abandoned. You are not unworthy. Because that's how we actually conclude that because you were abandoned, now you think that you are unworthy. You were betrayed. You are not naive or foolish. Eh? The event happened. The event is real. The pain is real. But the story you build around the event, that story is you. It's yours to rewrite. Eh? That story is yours to rewrite. Write a new story. Eh? Write a new story. One where you are not the victims. Eh? One where you are the survivor. You are not the victim. You are the survivor. Who find the strength? Because you can't find that story. It's always depend on how we look at it. Now, anchor three, you know, I talked earlier about forgiveness, but I didn't go into that. Understand forgiveness is for you. Okay? Not for them. And sometimes people find this difficult to understand. You must ask, how do you forgive someone? Okay? And then, as I said, you may ask that, how do you forgive someone who never said sorry? Now, let me tell you something. Now, forgiveness is not a statement about the other person. Forgiveness is a statement about your freedom. When you refuse to forgive, you know what they say? You drink the poison and wait for the other person to die. They are moving on with their life. Yeah? They may not even remember what they did to you. Yeah? They may not even remember what they did to you. And you are chained to that moment in time, reliving it every single day. Yeah? Now, forgiveness is you saying, I will no longer allow what you did to me to keep costing me my peace. That's what forgiveness is all about. I will no longer allow what you did to me to keep costing my peace. Because it does. It does costing your peace. So it doesn't mean reconciliation also. Forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation because you can forgive someone and never speak to them again. Maybe they are dead. You can forgive someone who has died. Do you understand? You can forgive someone who refuses to apologize. Forgiveness is an internal act of liberation. Eh? Forgiveness is an internal act of liberation. I don't know who said that. But, and you are the one who get liberated. Eh? You are the one who get liberated, not the one who actually drink the poison and waiting for the other one to die. So you remember Nelson Mandela? The Nobel Peace Prize winner, Nelson Mandela, walked out of 27 years in prison and said, and I'm paraphrasing, that as he walked through the gate, he knew that if he carried his bitterness with him, he would still be in the prison. 27 years, and he chose freedom. How long have you been carrying yours? How long have you been carrying yours? Anchor number four, this is, you know, things that you can stand on. Stop rehearsing the story. You know, every time you tell the story, every time you replay it in your mind or retelling it to someone, you are strengthening the neural pathways in your pain. Eh? Now, I'm not saying pretend it did not happen. I'm not saying just pretend that it didn't happen. I'm not saying, you should not you should not process it with trusted person or a therapy, with a therapist. What I'm saying is that, because that is a healthy and necessary, those process it with someone else, someone you trust, or a therapist or a counselor. So that is the health way, and it's necessary to do that. What I'm saying is this. There is a difference between processing a story and performing it. Some of us have made our pain our identity. You remember what we were talking earlier? It is the first thing we tell people. Okay? It is how we introduce ourselves emotionally to the world. And as long as the story is your identity, the story owns you. Remember that. Okay? The story owns you. All right? And the anchor number five. So now fill the space with something new. Okay? What I mean is that when you let go, this is scientific as well, you create a neurological space for a new pattern of thinking. You create that space. Psychologists say, they say it very beautifully. When you let go, you create space for something new to happen. So the question is not just, what are you releasing? The question is, what are you filling that space with? Okay? Now, fill it with new skill, new relationship, new habit, a new vision of your life. Start smart. You know, start small and, you know, read a book, join a group, start that idea of business, start of the idea of business, the business idea you have been sitting on for 3 years or so. Take all, maybe take a walk every morning, start a journal, those who love writing, find something that reminds you that life is still happening and that you are still in it. Life is still happening, but you are in it. Now, anchor six must also, this is very important, seek help. Remove the shame from that. So, I said it before, and I will say it again. Therapy is not only for people who are crazy. People think that we are crazy. Therapy is for people who are serious about their lives. In Namibia right now, mental health services are growing. There are counselors, there are community support structures, their trauma healing network in Namibia is doing incredible work. So the Life Choices Institute is doing incredible work. Now, churches, community leaders. So many of them are now trained in trauma-informed care. So you don't have to go through this alone. And in fact, you were not actually designed to go through it alone. You were not designed to go through this alone. We are communal people. Reach out. Reach out. All right. So, all right. And celebrate small wins. Lastly, celebrate small wins. Okay. The first time you talk about your pain without crying, celebrate that. The first time you see your ex or feel nothing and feel nothing, celebrate that. The first time you walk past the place of your trauma and feel okay, celebrate that. Healing is not linear. Someday you'll feel like you have gone backward. That is normal, but progress is not always visible, but is always real. Now, keep going. All right? So I want to close this before I hand over to Tate Franz. He's probably waiting. So I want to close with this image, and I want you to hold it in your mind. Imagine you are going on a long journey, a beautiful journey, across this magnificent land of ours. Imagine the red dunes of Sosfle, yeah? The vast, breathtaking Etosha plains, the wild Atlantic coast, the journey of, you know, the journey of beauty. But you are carrying a heavy bag on your back. And in that bag, there are rocks, heavy, jagged rock. And every rock has the name. Those names are resentment, shame, failure, rejection, bitterness, regret. And you are walking this beautiful journey that, but the bag is so heavy. It is slowing you down. It's hurting your back. You can't fully lift your eyes. to see the beautiful round, the beautiful around you, because you are bent under the weight. Now, and someone said to you, you can put the bag down. You don't have to carry it. And you say, but these are my rocks. I have had them for years. My friend, they are still rocks. They are still heavy. And the journey is still beautiful. And it is waiting for you. Put the bag down. All right? Until next time, I'm crossing to France. And you probably have a guest today. So, yeah, Daddy France, over to you. And let's do this again next week at the same time on the same frequency here on Eagle FM. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you all the best. And join Tate France on the other side in the capital. Goodbye and have a great Saturday ahead.